I'm excited about preaching today and just speaking to this last Sunday of 2020. We have been welcomed to the last Sunday. We recognize and realize that it is the last Sunday, and I guess I'm waiting on somebody to cheer, somebody to get excited about kicking 2020 all the way out and to look forward to a new year. But as Andretta said a little while ago, you survived. You're here. If you look around you today, somehow you made it. I realize many people did not, and we have many suffering families in our community and certainly in our nation and around the world. But here we are. We survived. We grew this year. We learned this year. And I thought about doing a year in review of sorts, but it seemed too much because we are really still living this thing. We're still walking this out and still working this out. And I think all of us can acknowledge that this has been one of the hardest years we've ever lived as a nation. Really one of the toughest times we've ever experienced globally, at least in our lifetimes. I know we could compare it to a long list of very challenging times and dark days and difficult seasons that our nation or even the world has faced. But in our lifetime, I remember early on in this situation when schools were starting to close. Initially, it was just going to be for a few days. It was just going to be for a short amount of time, and the kids were excited, and wow, we're gonna sleep in, or we're gonna be able to do what we want, or whatever the idea was. Those first few days when we didn't really realize the severity or all that was going to follow those first few days, and as it began to look like it was going to be significant. One of my kids just, you know, kind of offhandedly, and I said, listen, you don't realize how big this is. This is a time in your life, this is a season in your life that you are going to tell your children about. It is that significant. It is that historical. It is that monumental. This is something that you will tell your grandkids about. This will be your, I had to walk to school 5 miles in the snow, uphill both ways, and all of that. This is going to be that season in your life. So pay attention and figure out what it is that you can learn from it. And yet, it hasn't all been bad. I know everything is considered 2020 now. Any bad thing that happens, any challenge that befalls us, well, we chalk it up to 2020, but hasn't all been bad. Some businesses have thrived throughout this situation while others have closed. Some have had plenty of overtime opportunities and hours while others have been laid off. And yet it is still unfolding, and we are still learning, and hopefully we are growing from it all. I really think that perspective is everything. Paul said in Ephesians 6 and 13, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Your goal is to stand. Your goal is to not give up ground. Your goal is not to fall away or to fall back or to backslide, to use an old church word. The goal is to make sure that we are stronger than we were when this started. So the final Sunday of 2020, I want to reflect back on the first Sunday of 2020 and say, you know what? I know more than I did then. I'm more mature than I was then. I'm more educated than I was then. I've attained more. I've achieved more. I've learned more in 365 days. I've lived through a year, and now I am better for having lived through that year. And at the same time, I realize that people of faith have been rocked. They have been pushed around. They have been beaten. Many of us have survived, but let me ask you this question. Is surviving enough? I don't want to just survive. I don't want to just get through. I don't want to just be found somewhere leaning up against the wall, breathing hard, and I survived. No, I want to thrive. I want to figure out how to thrive in my faith regardless of what is going on around me. So I want to look today for a few moments at Luke chapter 4. If you have your Bibles and want to turn to Luke 4 or your digital, wherever you're getting your Bible from, on the screens, it'll be available for you there. But Jesus himself, let me just set this up for a moment. Jesus himself is coming out of a time of extreme testing. He was challenged in every way, challenged physically, challenged emotionally, challenged mentally. And I realize some people question that because, you know, he's Jesus after all. So ultimately, when you are Emmanuel, God with us, how much struggle can you really feel? How much pain can you really feel? But I completely disagree with that ideology, because he is no good to us as a savior if he doesn't understand our struggle. The Bible said he is our kinsman redeemer. He was kin to us. He made himself known. He made himself to feel what we feel and to experience what we experience, so that he could redeem us, so that he could help us, so that when you cry out to him in the middle of your dark night, when you throw your hands up in the air in the middle of your just exasperating situation, he can say, I know exactly how you feel, and that is what motivates me to help you and to bless you and to strengthen you even while you're going through the situation that you're going through. So Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, Jesus is speaking. This is his testimony, if you will. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Verse 19, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I read that over and over and over and over again. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then I went to the dictionary to find out what acceptable meant. Maybe it means something I don't realize that it means, but means exactly what you think it means. Acceptable is able to be agreed upon, suitable, adequate, satisfactory. The definitions and descriptions of the word acceptable, they go on. Words like reasonable, good, fair, decent, in order, sufficient, fine, tolerable. Does that describe your 2020? It doesn't describe mine at all. In fact, my 2020 was anything but tolerable or decent or in order or sufficient or even reasonable. You see, Jesus came to do very specific things. And he wanted to accomplish very precise goals. And one of those goals was to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Let's face it. On this last Sunday of the year, let's face it. 2020 was not an acceptable year. Some of you are online today because this has not been an acceptable year. Some of you are behind masks today because this has not been an acceptable year. Others are not feeling well. This has not been an acceptable year. So let's take inventory. If 2020 was something that you caused or I caused, then we would be responsible for it. It would be our fault. We would have to say, wait a minute, I turned left when I should have turned right. I zigged when I should have zagged, and now I'm facing the consequences. And even the casual attendee of the church Covington knows that we teach a take responsibility word around here. We own our own, and we take responsibility for the choices that we make and the decisions and the consequences that go with that. So I also have to take spiritual inventory when I look at this year, because 2020 was not something that I caused. The things that have happened, the things that have come, it's not something that I am responsible for per se. So I take spiritual inventory and I ask myself questions like, is the Spirit of the Lord on me? Do I have the Spirit of God on me, in me? Am I anointed? Do I have some preach in me? Because Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me and he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Do I have his Spirit on me? Am I anointed? And do I have some preach in me? So if this year wasn't what I needed it to be, then I have to keep preaching. If this year wasn't what I thought it should have been, then I need to keep proclaiming. I need to keep declaring. I need to preach until it gets right. Just look at somebody around you. You may have to holler across the aisle, but tell them, hey, the Lord just called me to preach. No, we don't have a parking spot for you. But the Lord just called me to preach. Say it in your living room. The Lord just called me to preach. One of the first sermons I ever preached, I was 13 and a half, about 14 years of age, and I preached about Moses and the ark. Y'all realize it wasn't Moses in the ark, right? Yeah, some of my audience that day, they were like, yeah, preach it, that's great, brother. It's Noah in the ark, but sometimes our preaching is not everything that it should be. But let me ask you today, what are you preaching? What are you preaching? What are you saying? What are you proclaiming? What are you declaring? I get asked this question weekly by friends across the country. Hey, what are you preaching? What are you saying? PK has really stopped asking me. She's asked me for years and years, what are you preaching this Sunday? And I never would tell. It's like my little secret. It's just between me and the Lord. Come Sunday and you'll hear it. You'll find out what I'm preaching. I just always kept it so private. What is it that you are preaching? Hear me. If you're going to preach good, then you need a plan, and you need some preparation, and you need some passion. So let's go to preaching school for just a few moments here today, and I'm going to do my best to teach you how to preach before you enter into this new year, because you need a plan. You need to know what you're going to preach, and you need to prepare. You need to know how to preach it and how best to convey your point. And then you need some passion. It needs to be believable. Whatever it is you're selling, whatever it is you're declaring, it needs to be believable. So let me tell you, this is what we need to preach in the new year. Number one, you need to preach to your past. Preach to your past. This ought to be your shortest sermon. Why? Because I don't want you to waste your next year regretting your last year. Don't waste next year. Don't waste 2021 regretting 2020. But you have to preach to your past. There's a reason that your rearview mirror is so much smaller than the lookout window in your vehicle. Because your past, what's behind you is worth a glance, but because it is not where you're going, the view is much smaller. So while we know our past is there, we know our decisions are back there. We know our choices are back there. We know that the things that we've lived in 2020, our experiences, our challenges, everything like, we know it's back there. It is not where I am going. And the reason I need to preach to my past is to remind my past choices and my past decisions. I need to remind them that they do not control me and they do not rule me, that today is a new day in Jesus, and it's a day that I can worship, it's a day that I can celebrate, it's a day that I can give God praise. So I preach to my past to make sure that it stays in my past. Some of us have hurts in our past, and we have disappointments in our past, and we have pains in our past. Not all of it is our fault. Some things we are the victim of, but I have to keep the things of the past in the past to keep them from ruling my present or my future. The Lord anointed me to preach. And the only way I can have an acceptable year is if I focus on what is ahead and stop trying to relive what is behind. I got to preach to my past. Y'all are waking up. Good morning. Welcome, 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 welcome. Let's have a little church over the next few moments. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. What is that? I forget. I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forward. Somebody say forward. I reach forward to those things which are ahead. It's the one thing I have to do. I have to forget what is behind me, and I have to reach forward to those things that are ahead. I have to preach to my past. What else? What else do I need to preach to? I need to preach to my peers. If the Lord has anointed you, then you have to preach to your peers. And you're saying, well, I've been trying. They just won't listen. No. Not like that. It's not that this isn't your opportunity to be judgmental. This isn't your opportunity to be unkind. You know why? Because the gospel is good news. Your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, they're getting enough bad news. We need to flip the script. We need to change the tone of social media. We need to change the direction of many of the conversations in our life. I was in a restaurant here recently, and they sat me in kind of a it was a part of the restaurant, but it was kind of a room, I guess, with doors that could be closed off, and you could have a private party in there. And it wasn't a private party. I was just eating lunch by myself, but with four or five tables in this little breakout room that had the doors all opened. I was on one side of the room, and on the other side of the room was a table of about 10 ladies, and they were lunching together. And you know, life is fascinating if you're within earshot of other people's conversations. It's really entertaining. Those women, they were fussing about everything. Their husbands could do no right. Their kids were on their nerves. Their jobs, you know, everything was a problem. Everything was something to complain about, something to fuss about. And then it was time for them to go. And they were so busy. They had this to do and that to do and here to go and there to go. And they were doing their own version of preaching to one another. But it was not good news. The people that live next door, they've got enough bad news. When they see me coming down the driveway, they need to see a yes. They need to see some good news. They need to hear something that is going to change the tone that they've been hearing for days and days and days. Because an acceptable year is a year where you preach your faith boldly. 2021 can be an acceptable year if we will live our faith, if we will preach our faith boldly. And sometimes use words. What do you mean? I mean living my life so that my attitude preaches the good news of Jesus. So that my demeanor preaches the good news about Jesus. So that the smile on my face communicates the good news about Jesus. What am I preaching? I need to preach to my peers. Because my life is always testifying. Jesus said he was anointed. He was anointed to preach some very specific things. He was anointed to preach good news to the poor. That's not just financial poverty that he is talking to. You dig out and study that word. He's preaching to people that are struggling, poor, poor in spirit. He's preaching to people. He's living a full life because there are people who are poor emotionally, people who are poor spiritually, people that just don't know what you know, people that whom haven't experienced what you have experienced. And he was anointed to preach good news to the poor. He was also anointed to preach healing to the brokenhearted. How many brokenhearted people do you know? If I asked you to start making a list on a scratch piece of paper near you right now, you would fill up the list. How many people that you know who are brokenhearted? The Lord has anointed you to preach to them. Preach what? Preach good news. Preach good news. Not preach I told you so. Not preach, well, you dummy, if you wouldn't have done this or done that, you wouldn't be in the situation that you're in. No, preach good news, healing to the brokenhearted. When you preach healing, I don't leave in worse condition than I arrived in. He also was anointed to preach freedom to the captives. You know why? Because everyone deserves to be free. Free from addiction, free from anxiety, free from depression, free from abuse of all kinds. He said he was anointed to preach sight to the blind. Because your peers will never make progress if they cannot see. So Lord, I pray that you would open their eyes so that they can see your will for their life, the plan that you have for them. I'm going to preach until eyes are opened spiritually and physically. And then it was liberty to the oppressed. He was anointed to preach liberty to the oppressed. I see this as a diversity thing. We need to preach and live diversity in our life to make room for other cultures, to make room for other races, to live what he has called us to live, of loving all people, everyone, no matter their race, no matter their economic standing, no matter what side of the tracks they live on. We preach liberty, freedom, healing, and help to the oppressed. We are called to love people. What would happen in 2021 if we were determined to love people like never before? Finally today, we need to preach to our purpose. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I need to preach to my purpose. Listen, this will be the most important preaching you will ever do. You say, no, I thought that preaching to the peers, that's the most important preaching I'll ever do. Helping people and making a difference in their life. No, because hear me, if you're not healthy, then you'll never help them. If your purpose is not fulfilled, then you will never be a blessing to anyone else. If you're not fully settled and satisfied in your own heart, then you will never satisfy or make a difference in someone else's life. That means I have to find my purpose. I have to know my purpose, and I have to live my purpose. You're saying, Pastor Darrell, what in the world is my purpose? Come to Discover Church in just a couple of weeks. We can help you discover your purpose and know what your purpose is. There's all kinds of ways for you to discover that, and we'll help you with all of them. But in 2021, do not live a purposeless life. Do not live a life wondering about who you are and what you are supposed to do or what call is on your life. Preach to your purpose. Start with choosing the Spirit of the Lord in your life. Choosing to be full of the Spirit of the Lord in your life. Choosing to be on fire for God in 2021. Choosing and deciding to be anointed. Wait a minute, I'm not the one who anoints, so how do I get anointed? You get on your face somewhere. You get in prayer. You live a life of dedication. Lord, I want your anointing on my life. I want your anointing, the oil of your Spirit, to rest on me, because we need to be anointed in this new year. And he said, I'm proclaiming. The Lord has anointed me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And in order for us to have an acceptable year, we need to proclaim an acceptable year. And we are anointed to do just that. In our recent Fear Virus small group, awesome small group, there's a number of you that were a part of it, both in person and online. And one of the sessions that I was able to be in, Amy Poole helped us to develop daily proclamations to remind us of who we are to God. Because it's important to proclaim things for the coming new year instead of waiting to see what happens, or to just take it as it comes, or listen, 2020 was so out of my control, how would I even think about going into 2021 and trying to manage my own affairs or my own schedule or my own life? I want you to hear me. I'm not minimizing pandemic. I'm not minimizing anything that's happening in our world, but hear me. The enemy wants to exacerbate this thing. He wants to make more out of this in your individual life. He wants it to rule every facet of your life and every thought in your brain. And that's not God's will. It's not God's will. So what do I proclaim? You want to hear a few of my daily proclamations? These are on my desk. These are in my phone. I have them with me. I can take time to do this every single day. Here's one: I'm God's friend. There's correlating scriptures that go with all of these. I am God's soldier. I am God's chosen. I have been given a sound mind. I have been given wisdom. I have boldness and access. I love that. I have boldness and access. I have access to God. I can get in the presence of the Lord wherever I am. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if I'm in church. It doesn't matter if I'm in Lenox Mall. It doesn't matter where I am. I can get in the presence of God because I have access. Don't you need a choir for that? No, actually I don't. Don't you need a piano? I love it, but I don't have to have that because I have access and I have boldness. One of my friends, Ricardo Sanchez, posted on Instagram the other day just a 1 minute clip of, I wish I had it, I didn't think about that, but it was a woman. They were in Walmart. It was a Walmart employee, and there was this, you could just tell she was just this sainted woman. She had her buggy, and there she was beside the employee who was wearing the blue apron. And I don't know what their conversation had been previous, but that sainted woman knew what the answer was. And she was singing Amazing Grace at the top of her lungs. And there were other customers walking by and just peering in and looking. And there were people, I'm sure you could read it on their face, that thought that they were crazy because, I mean, you're on aisle 9 after all. This is not a church, but you know what? This is where this encounter is happening. It happens to be on aisle 9 when this broken-hearted, lonely, struggling, in pain, life falling apart individual needed and cried out to God. And that sainted woman is singing Amazing Grace. And it was powerful and it was unbelievable and it was awesome. And she didn't care what anybody else thought. Because in that 1 minute clip, Walmart employee is wiping tears that are streaming down her face. It doesn't matter where it happens. It doesn't matter where God moves. Y'all better run from me if you see me in Walmart. I'm coming with a song. And there were people commenting, saying, oh, you hear that woman sing? Listen to that note she just went to. And listen to how cool that run was. And I thought, young church, you don't get it. What we need is to get back to that kind of relationship with God. That it doesn't matter where we are. When the Spirit of the Lord moves, I am anointed to preach. What are you preaching? What are you going to declare? What are you going to proclaim in this new year? Are you going to spend next Sunday talking about everything that happened in 2020? I'm not saying it has to go from our vocabulary. Again, I told my kids, this is something that you're going to tell your children about. It is a part of us. It is an experience we have lived through and are still living through. It's a part of us. And I told you, it's not going to go away with the turn of the calendar page. But what am I going to proclaim over my new year? So I have boldness and access. I can pray always and everywhere. I don't have to wait till Sunday. I can pray always and everywhere. And my final proclamation, I cannot be moved. So let the sea billows roll. Let the winds of life blow hard. I cannot be moved. Planting feet. Faith. I know life is going to knock me down. I know struggles are coming. I know situations are coming, but I cannot be moved. Can I be staggered? Yeah. Can I be punched drunk? Absolutely. Have been many, many times, but I cannot be. Can you be knocked down? Yes. But can you get back up? Can you get back up? Get up and declare. Get up and declare the goodness of God in your life. What are you preaching? When I was young and learning, a mentor taught me early on, pray it down, study it in, and preach it out. I think of that often, really every week when I'm preparing. Study it in, pray it down, preach it out. It really sounds like a plan of success in the new year. Pray, study, preach. Proclaim that you are healed and whole, set free and saved, full of purpose and power. Because I'm ready for an acceptable year. So I'll proclaim it into reality. What are you preaching? What are you preaching? No, Pastor Darrell, I'm just going to get here every Sunday and hear you preach, and I want you to come. I'm going to do my best to help you every week. But Monday through Saturday, I want you preaching to yourself. I want you preaching to others. I want you proclaiming and declaring. Preach to your past. Preach to your peers. Preach to your purpose. Father, I have preached your word on this last Sunday of 2020. I believe you are helping people in this room, speaking specifically to hearts and to lives and to needs, to realities. Things are not perfect. This was not an acceptable year, Lord. We're glad to be alive and glad to have our health and glad to have our family, but this was not an acceptable year. Should I go somewhere in a corner and sit and hide? Should I pull the covers over my head until it passes? What do I do when life is not going like I hoped it would go? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach. I'm anointed to preach, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. 2021. It has to be acceptable because I proclaim it and declare it to be so. In Jesus' name. Does anybody just receive that into your life today? Anyone receive that into your heart today? Anybody accept that today? Receive it today. I accept that today. Listen, there's no reason to wait until 2021 to give your heart to Jesus. There's no reason to wait until the new year, the turn of that calendar page. You can redeem 2021 by saying yes to Jesus. If you're in this room and you're not where you need to be in God, if you're online and you're not where you need to be with God, maybe the whole preach thing, it would be a lot easier if you just had the Spirit of the Lord, His anointing on your life. what you need today. You need to get the Lord working in your life. How do I do that? You start with saying yes to Jesus. You can pray your words. You can borrow my words. But let it be something like, Jesus, I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to preach to my past. My past has ruled and controlled and determined my future for too long. No more. Today, I leave my past where it belongs, in my past. Today, I accept the future that you have for me. I step boldly into my tomorrow, knowing that you are with me and that you are leading me and knowing that you are saving me. I denounce my sin. I denounce my addiction. I denounce the consequence of every choice in my life. Today I accept your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness. I say yes to you. I receive you. And my life will never be the same because of it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap today for people that are saying yes to Jesus? Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord.